From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue this series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
Our text for this morning comes from the Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 16. Awake, O north wind, and come, thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Anything is better than the dead calm of indifference. Our souls may wisely desire the north wind of trouble, if that alone can be sanctified to the drawing forth of the perfume of our graces. So long as it cannot be said, the Lord was not in the wind, we will not shrink from the most wintry blast that ever blew upon plants of grace. Did not the spouse in this verse humbly submit herself to the reproofs of her beloved, only entreating him to send forth his grace in some form, and making no stipulation as to the peculiar manner in which it should come? Did she not, like ourselves, become so utterly weary of deadness and unholy calm, that she sighed for any visitation which would brace her to action? Yet she desires the warm south wind of comfort, too, the smiles of divine love, the joy of the Redeemer's presence. These are often mightily effectual to arouse our sluggish life. She desires either one or the other, or both, so that she may but be able to delight her beloved with the spices of her garden. She cannot endure to be unprofitable, nor can we. How cheering a thought that Jesus can find comfort in our poor, feeble graces. Can it be? It seems far too good to be true. Well may we court trial or even death itself, if we shall thereby be aided to make glad Emmanuel's heart. Oh, that our heart were crushed to atoms, if only by such bruising our sweet Lord Jesus could be glorified. Graces unexercised are as sweet perfumes slumbering in the cups of the flowers. The wisdom of the great husbandman overrules diverse and opposite causes to produce the one desired result, and makes both affliction and consolation draw forth the grateful odors of faith, love, patience, hope, resignation, joy, and the other fair flowers of the garden. May we know by sweet experience what this means.
Wonderful! Wonderful! Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? There will never be a sweeter story, story of the Savior's love divine, love that brought Him from the realms of glory, just to save a sinful soul like mine. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Something wonderful, wonderful it is to me. Boundless as the universe around me, reaching to the farthest soul away, saving, keeping love it was that found me. That is why my heart can only say, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Jesus, something wonderful, wonderful it is to me.
Love beyond our human kind. comprehending. Love of God in Christ, how can it be? This will be my theme and never ending. Great redeeming love of Calvary.
Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful?
Every so often here on Let the Bible Speak, we've mentioned Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include, why did Christ have to become a man? Why does a good God allow suffering? Or, what is the unpardonable sin? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. All of these video clips are available on the ltbsradio.com website. In addition, we're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD, Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. Or if you wish, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. On today's program, Dr. Cairns brings the final portion of a message called Guilt-Free Christian Living, the first in an in-depth study of Romans chapter 8. The teaching of chapter 8 is first about the security of the believer, then of his sanctification. One of the most difficult battles the Christian has to fight is against the guilt of sin. A realization of Christ's vicarious suffering and death for his people is the path to victory over guilt. This is the glorious truth contained in Paul's opening statement in chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. To be in union with Christ means that believers have Christ as their representative before God the Father. Through his obedience unto death, Christ as a man has earned the right to enter heaven. Because each believer is united to Christ, part of his body, the church, the Christian may be assured that he will be in heaven with the Savior. Now Dr. Cairns will conclude this message, Guilt-Free Christian Living.
You remember the parable that the Lord Jesus told in Matthew 22? The parable of the marriage of the king's son. There they were all seated around the tables. The king comes in. He looks around and he's well satisfied. You've all the right to be here, except you. Why? How did you come here? Why did you come here? How dare you come here without wedding garments? What is the wedding garment? It's the garment I have described from Isaiah 61:10. It's the garment of salvation. It's the robe of righteousness. There is the reference as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornament and a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. This is the wedding garment. It's the robe of the righteousness of Christ. You see what it's saying? When God looks at people, he's not looking at how well you've performed. Oh, I want you to do your best for God. Can we be satisfied with giving the Lord anything less than our best? No. But that's not the basis of your acceptance with God. God's not looking, as I say, at the rags of our efforts. He's looking at the robe of the righteousness of Christ. And when he sees that, he sees Christ. He's well pleased. Follow my logic. He gives the believers the verdict, not guilty. He says, I have no reason to condemn you, for Christ has removed all your sins. I have every reason to accept you, for Christ has clothed you with the garments of his own righteous perfection. There is therefore now no condemnation. But notice this, that verdict is limited to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now that's the key to deliverance from guilt, the deliverance from the penalty of sin. That's what takes you out of Adam, puts you in to Christ. It's the grace of God putting you in union with Jesus Christ. Now you must understand this. This is more than a profession of faith. This is more than having an orthodox creed. This is more than being able to recite the Apostles' Creed or the Shorter Catechism. This is more than being able to give the 5 points of Calvinism. This is more than being able to give the fundamentalists, the list of the fundamentals that have been given out from time to time. This is more than being a Presbyterian or a Baptist. This is more than being baptized by sprinkling or immersion. This is more than sitting at the Lord's table. This is more than religion. More than profession. More than head knowledge. There's something vital here. It's a personal, vital union with Christ. That's the only thing. That's the only thing that will take you to heaven. Understand it. What does it mean to be united to Christ, in Christ Jesus? It means Christ is your representative. Means that just as you have a head and a body of Christ and his people, they are vitally, that is, vitally united means they have a union of life. The life of the head flows to the body. All he has ever done, as I've said, he's done in our name and place, with the result that God treats him and his people as one. I've often put it this way, that God will never deal with his people apart from Christ, and he'll never deal with Christ apart from his people. There's an old hymn. I came across it, at least I came across this little part of it last night. It was stuck. I'd written it out, and it was stuck in the pages of an older Bible. I can't remember writing it, but I said, that's exactly what I want for tonight. That's exactly it. I have to say, the poetry is not of a very high standard, but the theology is magnificent. And if you give me a choice between theology and poetry any day, I'll choose theology. But the hymn writer put it this way, and when I shall die, receive me, I'll cry, for Jesus has loved me, I cannot tell why. But this I do find, we two are so joined that he won't be in glory and leave me behind. That's it. He will not be in glory and leave me behind. That's union with Christ. That's the basis of our security. That's the basis indeed of our sanctification. But I'll tell you something else that brings a very solemn message. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ, but it means there is condemnation to them that are not in Christ. Out of Christ, without a Savior, with no help or refuge now. And it be, O blessed Master, that one without thee dares to die out of Christ. Matthew 7 gives us a terrible picture. Matthew 25 repeats the picture. Different details, but it's the same message. In the church, but out of Christ. In the ministry, but out of Christ. In the pulpit, but out of Christ. Wonder where you are tonight. In Christ, God removes all guilt, all ground for condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus. But out of Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Are you saved? Let me be very pointed here. Many of you young people have come to a Christian school for a Christian education. You can give a Christian education to a sinner and he'll go to hell nonetheless. Education will never save anybody unless it educates him to come to Christ. Are you saved? Are you in Christ? For in Christ there's no condemnation. But out of Christ, no matter what else you are in, out of Christ is only the wrath and the curse of a sin-hating God. So in Christ we have deliverance from guilt. I have only a moment to finish to say that there's also the deliverance from the power of sin. Who walk not. This is a description. It's not a definition that you become a Christian because of the way you walk. No, you walk because you're a Christian. That's always the answer of the Bible. They walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In other words, they're still in the flesh, as Romans 7 makes clear. The flesh is always prone to sin. But there's a new man here. There's the man in Christ. A Christian is a new man. He's a new creature. Here he is. The real man loves God's Son, loves God's law, and loves God's people. That's the real man. The flesh may struggle against it, but there is in a Christian, even when he feels something that condemns the sin and cries out after holiness. There's a new principle in a Christian. Something that wasn't there before. He loves the law of God after the inward man. So being in Christ controls his walk. That's the whole key to holiness. To say the flesh will always try to drag him back to the law. Even for his sanctification, you see, the flesh wants to be able to glory. If I can make myself holy by my adherence to a set of laws, then I'm going to feel, oh, like a Pharisee, oh, so proud of me. But if I am brought to where Paul was, here I am, a wretched man in a body of death, and I cannot overcome the flesh, and I cannot defeat the devil, and I cannot by myself get victory. But Christ can. Thus, by faith I look to him. By faith I take the gospel and take my stand on that gospel. He gives the victory. Grace always points to Christ. Paul, or John the Apostle, said in 1 John 5, verse 4, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. To some people that sounds just too easy. Let me tell you, far from being too easy, that is the most difficult thing in the world for anybody, even a Christian, to learn. We live by faith. How often the New Testament has to hammer that home? We live by faith. Now, some of you are going to be facing very big decisions. This is where you get right down to the nitty-gritty of life. You're going to hear preachers, and they're going to tell you, going to give you a whole lot of rules and regulations. Just, and some of them will be good rules and regulations, by the way. They'll be good. The advice will be good. Let's bring it right down to where we are, where you are. How to control your computer. Where not to go on the web. They can give you good advice. Have you ever known a case that actually gives you victory? No, it'll make you feel all the more wretched when you've done wrong. But it'll not give you the power to do right. When you're faced with temptation, wickedness, worldliness, you take the most pervasive form of worldliness among Christians today. Not only young Christians, by the way, just all Christians. The most pervasive form of worldliness among Christians today comes from the entertainment industry. Usually music, but maybe some other form. In the entertainment world, the devil's damning more souls by the entertainment world than by any other means. Now, how do you react to these things? How do you live in the real world? You take the gospel. You set Christ before you. You're in Christ. Christ is everything. Christ is your life. Christ is your righteousness. Christ is your wisdom. Christ is everything. You set Christ before you. You recognize He is your deliverer. He lived for you. He died for you. He rose again for you. He's interceding for you. You are in Him. He is in you. Let that sink down into your heart and into your soul. Then go to face your decision. You tell me, can anybody sit and look at filth on the computer while they're thinking, Christ loved me and gave Himself for me? Is it possible? I set Christ before me and I'm looking at that filth. Is it possible? No, it's not. The most practical thing in the world, Christ is our sanctifier. He who delivers us from guilt and condemnation also breaks the power of the sin that he paid the penalty for on the cross. He breaks the power. And he gives victory. He gives victory. I love the old hymn. Usually quoted by people of a very different theology to mine. But the words are still true. Holiness by faith in Jesus, not by effort of my own. Sin's dominion crushed and broken by the power of grace alone. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, that may exalt Christ, who is the complete Savior of all united to Him by faith, delivering them both from the guilt and the power of sin.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.